Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of InspirationalHomeschooling.com. Today's guest is Deborah Wheeler. She's a homeschool mom of eight, a speaker, an author, and the senior editor of the Old Schoolhouse magazine. Today we will discuss how homeschool parents believe the negative voices of failure and how you can overcome them. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming back. I have a lot of great information that we are going to share with the listeners, so I'm really excited. Many of your articles speak to the hearts of homeschool parents and offering that encouragement on those cloudy days. You share a lot from your own experience with guilt and feelings of inadequacy, and I love how open you are with that. Can you describe the different types of guilt and inadequacies homeschool parents experience and share advice on how to overcome them?
Absolutely. We just beat ourselves up a lot
Yes.
because we wear a lot of hats and we feel this weight of responsibility that now we're taking on the education of our children, which seems like, whoa, this is a big thing. But really broken down into daily steps, it's not that hard. So, I do try to simplify things for parents as much as possible. But still, we have these guilty feelings, like you were saying, and feelings of inadequacy. And I think there's many areas. One area is we have these expectations, and we have expectations of ourselves and of our spouses and of our children and of our community, and sometimes they're just not met. And so we feel like we have failed, because we have these expectations. Well, what I counsel with families is that we need to kind of change our expectations and cast those off and let God take those things and say, what is it that God expects of us? Not what I'm expecting of everyone around me or myself, but what is God expecting of me? And that I just take them to Micah 6:8. It's very simple. It says, He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly. And what you're doing, bringing your kids home to teach them righteousness is just, right? To do justly, to love mercy, to love mercy. And this is a merciful thing that we're doing, just comforting and encouraging and protecting our children. It's a merciful thing. So do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And as you're walking this life out with your children and you're walking humbly before God, you're meeting His expectations. And so that you can just let go of that guilt, right? Of those things. There's always the question that maybe someone else could do it better, and yes, maybe if we're just talking about math and algebra 2, maybe someone else could do it better than me, but we have all the helps that we need. There's so many tutors and so many tutoring programs and so many, CDs and helps, so much help. And so, we don't have to feel like someone else could do, better a job of overseeing what our children are doing. We know what our children are like. We know them best. We love them most. We know what they're like. So we have all that we need to do the job that God's given us to do. In fact, it's in Philippians 2 that says that it's God who works in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. So He not only gives us the desire, but the ability. And so that's just leaning hard on Him and saying, Lord, show me, give me that ability. And He does. He's very faithful to do that. And then, sometimes we feel like, am I a teacher? Am I a good teacher? We ask those questions. And really, we were created to teach. You go back to Genesis, and there was no teacher that was created for Adam and Eve to teach their children, right? It was God's plan from the beginning that we teach our children and that our children will teach their children. It's very generational. You can look at Psalm 78. It's a very generational psalm that goes over fathers will teach their children the mighty deeds of the Lord, and these children will teach their children after them the mighty deeds of the Lord, and it just goes on. And those children, and that's His plan. So if He's created us to teach, then He has given us what we need to do it. So we are the best ones. And maybe we feel like we can't get it all done. There's so much to do. And again, I encourage parents to just simplify and go back to the basics. And sometimes, like you, as we talked earlier, is we have all these opportunities for home education, and so we have to guard our time at home, right? And so sometimes we're doing too much, and we have to say, okay, well, where do we scale back so that we can just simplify more and not feel like we're not getting it all done? Because really, not one of us can do everything that we think needs to be done, because there's so many opportunities out there for us and our children, and it's a good thing. And then when we lose our perspective that way, we just say, Lord, you know, when I'm overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. And that's a higher perspective, right? You're getting up higher and seeing the big picture, and you're saying, oh, God, you have this in control. So I want to see from your perspective and not my own that's down here in the in the trenches.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like sometimes we will look toward society or earthly things or even in our own voice and go and start judging ourselves and try to please that instead of pleasing God. And when we are set to please God, we just accomplish more and we see God more in things. We are growing
So true.
alongside with our kids for sure, aren't we?
So true.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes families go through tough times and sometimes, you know, we have families that go through divorce and unemployment and financial hardship. What kind of advice do you have for those parents who feel compelled that maybe they need to get a job and maybe they need to put their kids back in school?
So before you say I quit,
Yeah.
I want to step into that space between the hardship and the I quit. I'll just step right in there a minute. And you know, if that person was sitting in front of me like you are, I would just let's hug, let's pray, and then let's find out what the Bible says, you know, about just where we're at in our hearts, because there's going to be every hardship that will come against us, especially as home educators. We kind of have a big target on us from, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we really need to know where our hearts are at. And so in that space, I would take you to Luke chapter 5 and the story of Peter and how Peter had gone fishing all night and he had caught nothing, absolutely nothing. And this was his craft. This is what he knew. This was his identity. And he all night fishing and caught nothing. And you know, sometimes we feel like we're in that place. We've done all the things. We've done everything we know to do, and we're coming up with nothing. That's what it feels like, right? And so here, this is where Jesus steps in, and Jesus says to Peter, "Can I borrow your boat?" And Peter's like, he's mending the nets, and he's like, okay, you know, I got enough energy to help push you out, right? And so he's in the boat and he's speaking these words of God, and he's in such a way that Peter is changed. And so when we invite Jesus into our situation and hear what he has to say, we are changed. Because then when Jesus asked him, can you go out again and fish again? And Peter's like, you know, well, I got nothing. You know, I know my craft, but he didn't know the master of his craft well enough to know that if he obeyed, that there would be a reward. And so our obedience really is always what God is asking, and he rewards that. And so in that place of hardship, Jesus is just saying, go out one more time. And now I'm going to be in charge of this craft, and you will see the rewards coming. So just one more day. One more day. You got this. I'm in charge. I will reward you.
And then that reminds me too, like Hebrews 11:8, when he says, ask, you know, Abraham to go out. He's like, okay, you know, leave your home, leave your community, leave everything and go. And he doesn't know where he's going to go. He doesn't know what it looks like. He faces a lot of hardship along the way, but God blesses him and generations through him. And I think that that's something that we need to share with homeschool families is that you, through homeschooling, through your faithfulness, will be blessed, and generations after you will be blessed. Barb
Absolutely.
or Deborah, just thank you for encouraging parents who are feeling discouraged. When we come back, Deborah is going to share advice for parents who are homeschooling a strong-willed, highly eruptive child. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You're listening to Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I'm here with Deborah Wheeler. And we're going to be talking about homeschooling a strong-willed, highly eruptive child. Deborah, you have mentioned this in our last episode that you have dealt with a rebel child. And when parents deal with a child who is strong-willed and highly eruptive, we struggle. And I have struggled. I have a son that I am dealing with. And I can say that we don't always even respond or react appropriately. Can you describe some of the scenarios and thoughts that go through a parent's mind as they try to figure out what to do?
Scenarios. Well, this is that child, as you said, was highly eruptive and disruptive and argumentative, and the rule books just don't apply to them. In fact, they're in charge of the rules, and they want to be at least. And so these are the kids that you say, okay, it's time for math, and they say, no, I don't need to do that. I already know all of that, you know, and they're, I don't have to listen to you. I mean, wow, these children say some things that are that you would think, where did that come from? What do you mean you don't have to listen to me, you know? Or they're hurting siblings, or they're causing strife in every way possible. And so, yes, so we go through these thoughts in our mind, like, how did we get to this place? Was it something that I did? Was it something, you know, maybe I was too lax with them, or too permissive, or maybe I was too strict? You know, we think all these thoughts, like, is it my fault that I have, that this child is this way? And so really, it really helps parents to understand that they were created to be warriors. They were created to be strong, spirited individuals, because we need them in our society. God needs them in his kingdom. He needs, you know, children who will raise up and rise up and just say no to the culture. And they're going to say yes or no. They're very black and white. And so, you know, they're going to say yes or no. We want them to say no to what is ungodly and yes to what is godly. And so that is our goal for raising these kids. And so it's good that God has blessed us with these children, but how do we raise them, right?
Right.
How do we channel that strong will towards, you know, the things of the Lord? So we also, we want to look at maybe the areas of what's going on with them physically, because maybe it's a sugar issue, a blood sugar issue, or a sugar issue. Maybe it's something where they're not getting enough sleep, or the right kind of sleep, where they're not going into that deep sleep. Good person to listen to about that, it's on YouTube. Go to Biology of Behavior, and that's Diane Kraft. Okay. And she talks about getting the right kind of sleep so that our children are not reacting to their environment. They have a moment to respond because they're getting the right nutrition and the right supplements. So you can look that up. So you look at them, what's going physically, what's going on emotionally, you know, are they upset about something, and what's going on spiritually. They have an enemy because the enemy knows these are going to be strong-willed, you know, for God's kingdom. So the enemy's going to come in and lie to them constantly and tell them they're no good, they're never going to be good. They might as well just not even be here. All kinds of lies. So we have to pour the truth. We have to continually pour the truth into them and remind them that they were created to be this way. They're just fighting the wrong fight. They need to fight the right fight. So you get together and you partner with your child. And you say, we're going to fight against this enemy that you have together, because that would be fighting the right fight. You know, they're just practicing on mom and dad and siblings right now, but they were created to be this person. And so we maybe want to look at some triggers, what's triggering these moments of flare-ups of, you know, eruption. And maybe it was something that was schoolwork, maybe that was too hard or too easy. So you're going to look at what is really necessary for this child and get rid of anything extra workbooks. They don't need that. Usually these children I've found across the nation is they are the brightest, smartest children, and they can talk you into a corner, you know, and they can reason around you. And so they could be good lawyers and politicians and, you know, people that will be good for us in the future. And so, you know, we have to look at whether we are – our perspective maybe needs to change from making a student to making a disciple. Because, you know, what are my, I had to pray with my husband and say, what are we doing for this child? What does their future look like? Well, we just wanted them in heaven. That's all, you know, that's all we could see at the time. We just want them in heaven. And so we had to sort of switch gears and go, okay, we're going to scale back on the academics because they're so smart and they pick everything up in their good reading. So we're going to just pull back on that and go forward with just filling them with the Word of God, because that's what they were going to need for their future. Because the Word of God is what does its work in us. It's not our words, because they're maybe not even listening to our words. They're, you know, that close to us. Some are. And so the Word of God will work in them where we can't, right? And then so we might adjust our educational goals. And then we have to be consistent, 100% consistent in everything, in their meal times, in their bedtimes, in their chores. They don't like change. They don't like change. So if you're telling them this is your chore, it better be their chore for a while until, you know, until you have a good talk about maybe changing it. But no surprises, because that will cause eruptions. And so consistent expectations set for them, and then we have to be consistent as parents in keeping our word 100%. So if we're disciplining them and we say, okay, if you cannot be, you know, if you can't respect mom and dad for the next 3 days, you may not be able to go with us to Marine World or wherever it was. Well, you better have a babysitter ready, because they may not be able to hold on for 3 days. And so we have to keep our word, because they will try us 99% of the time if we give in once. So very consistent. And then we need to love our rebels. And we want to push away. That's our instinct, is to push away, because we have things to do and they're in our face and creating havoc, right? But God says, draw them in closer. Keep them with you wherever you go. Sit next to them as much as possible in a positive way, you know? So change the way you respond to them instead of getting angry and frustrated. Have a soft answer, you know, because that'll turn away our own wrath. It may never turn away their wrath, but Proverbs 15:1 says, have a soft answer and it'll turn away our wrath. And so we have to change that way that we respond.
Oh, I love that. And I love how you say we really need to be thankful for these kids, because they are our future. They're going to be a huge impact. I go to 1 Corinthians 12 when it says that each of us are made unique. Each of us have a special gift, and we can all combine them together for the glory of God. And, you know, that they are. They're very special and unique in their own way, and they are very impactful. And so if we can just guide them and disciple them in the right way, it's going to be a huge impact on society, on our world, and for generations. Now, as you graduate, well, actually, your youngest child is in high school,
He
right?
is,
And so I'm sure you're kind of at the point where it's like, oh, reflecting a lot. What is your best advice for new homeschool parents?
I think that just we, from the beginning, I really felt like I was homeschooling blindfolded, because I did not know the future of my children, right? And this is what I share with a lot of parents, is you are homeschooling blindfolded because you don't know the future, but God does. And so you need His wisdom, because we have no wisdom of our own. Absolutely none. You know, we have some knowledge, we have some good things, but we need wisdom, because He understands where they're headed and what their future holds. And so we really need to know Him. And again, Second Peter says our knowledge of Him will give us everything we need for life and godliness. So that is where we start, in His Word and knowing Him, and then trusting that He is going to reward our obedience in everyday things. And He does. He brings these opportunities to us that we would have never thought of for our children. And then they're propelled down that direction, and we would have never thought of that on our own. So He brings people to us, He brings opportunities, and he just, you know, He fills in those gaps that we think we have, right? He fills all of those in. And then we need to know that when we don't have what we need, like say in patience or understanding or kindness or whatever it is, You can go to Exodus 34, verse 6, that says, "The Lord is merciful and kind, and He is full, He's abundant in goodness and truth." And so He has all that we need. So sometimes we just have to move out of the way and let Him live through us and show us what to do for that day. What is eternally important for that day? Maybe our academics or our agenda doesn't get done, but if we've done something eternally important with our kids for that day, we've prayed with them, we shared scripture with them, then we can go to bed at night and go, "Wow, I didn't get my will done, but God, I think I got your will done." And that's what we're here for.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that. Can you share where listeners can subscribe to the magazine, share where they can find your workshops, retreat topics, your schedule on speaking engagements, or learn from what you have shared in articles?
Absolutely. That all can be found at theoldschoolhouse.com. And from there you can find the workshops that I speak on, and you can find how to subscribe to the magazine, how to read the magazine online digitally, our schoolhouse curriculum. We have a curriculum side. All of that can be found at theoldschoolhouse.com, or you can email me at senioreditor@theoldschoolhouse.com.
Oh, Deborah, thank you so much for sharing us. Thank you for encouraging parents not to quit. Those who homeschool a strong-willed, highly eruptive child, thank you for speaking to their hearts as well. That was so incredibly valuable. This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.